Blog Talk Radio.
What, now I don't have a song? Oh, good Lord.
Okay. Don't need no intro.
I don't need no speaking song, no regular song. I don't need nothing. This is not normal. Hello to my non-normal song. All right. Let's see. What should we pick here? Let's pick something because this isn't normal. Hello, radio world. Hello, blog talk people. This is Speak Discussion on a great day because it just follows my day. Oh, my goodness. Isn't this great? Oh, you know what I'm going to do? Watch. This is going to be great. Hello, AP, how are you tonight?
I am very well. It is Wednesday early afternoon here, very early afternoon, and I am in an Uber on the way to the airport.
Oh, good. Are you in the mood to sing?
So, yeah, no, it's all good. I'm off to Sydney, so as you do.
Well, I have a problem. I'm hoping you can help me with.
What have you got, Sweat?
Okay, so I opened my show, and it went, your show shall start in 5 seconds, like it normally does, right?
Yeah, sure.
And I got no song. Nothing happened.
Oh, that's interesting. That's
and I don't have an introduction song. Nothing. And then
absolutely
you come along.
Nothing would surprise me, Sweet, with that online system at the minute. It has been completely erratic, and it has been doing very random things. And so not having theme music is probably as good as random thing that we could see that was happening. So I just shrug and move on, because that's what Blog Talk Radio seems to do these days. It just gives you something.
But, get out of my studio. But then there came a sign.
Well, we're talking to each other. That's a good start, Sweet.
Right. So that means you can sing an intro song for me.
I could sing an intro song for you. Which song would you like me to sing?
I'm going to make that your choice.
Oh, God. Okay. I don't know.
As long as it's not a sea shanty.
What are you saying, Rack? Hold on.
I said as long as it's not a sea shanty.
Oh, no, I don't think we need a sea shanty. You know. I do happy birthday, but it's nobody's birthday. So, you know, I don't know. Well, see if my other... Just give me a minute, Sweet, and I'll get some lyrics in front of me. Just
okay.
Leaving on a jet plane.
We can do that. I don't have to do it, but we can do it. Yeah, okay, hold on. Speak up.
You pick your song.
I'm getting lyrics.
If you don't get out of my studio, I'm going to kick your ass out of here.
Did Adam West call in?
Okay. You ready to go, Sway? I've got lyrics.
I am.
Okay. All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking. It's early morn. The taxi's waiting. He's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome, I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, baby, I hate to go. How's that? What?
I loved it. Thank you. All right, everybody, we've got our song sung by Pete Taylor. Woo-hoo!
Yay!
Hey, so welcome to Sweet Discussions, everybody. This is Sweet. Tonight we're going to be talking about interviewing people in life or things in life, all of those wonderful things we've got going on. Tonight we've got a mysterious, crazy Mad Hatter pushing buttons in my studio. How are you doing, Hatter?
Why are you picking me? I was good.
You're my Mad Hatter, and I'm your pseudo Alice. So I know you, darling. then I've got Mr. AT all the way from the down under, getting ready to jump on a plane. My opening song, since I did not get one. I also have the beautiful and talented and my wonderful, helps me do everything, Miss Pretty Bird, and then I have Bracken Tor. So, life is wonderful for me right now. It has been a hell of a day, and I hope that goes for all of you, the absolute opposite of the things that have gone on for me today.
We all have them sometimes.
Yes, I know somebody else on this little board of friends of mine has also had a kind of crazy day, so.
This is not a crazy day. This is an easy day. Tomorrow's crazy day.
Okay. So, I have been messing with a very, very long poem. And AP, are you on like a super, hey, I got to read and run? Because if not, I'm going to read me first, because this has been insane for me today.
We'll get out of the Uber and do mine from outside the terminal. The best way to do it.
Okay. So I am going to throw just this insane poem that if I don't read it, I'll keep messing with it while we're on the phone, and I've got to stop. I must stop. I'm just saying. And so forgive whatever is wrong with it, because I'm sure there's typos and all kinds of stuff because I keep messing with it. So I'm just going to stop myself now. All right. Here we go. It is my interview with Common Sense with Sweepy. Sitting in my Lewis Lane, should be Lewis, but it's not, antiquated style office. I was curious and getting nauseous about my next assignment, but I had picked him, a superstar once a part of everyday society, slowly cast away like Cabbage Patch dolls and pogs. My pink princess phone rang. I wasn't expecting a call. I didn't expect a call so soon, but it was him in the same afternoon. Hello, I said in my professional phone voice. We hammered out the guidelines for my interview, engaged in the proper amount of how are you, small talk. I decided to come to his warehouse. Please ring the doorbell twice. The parking lot was empty and scary. Had someone killed Mickey Mouse? Approaching the doorbell, I tolled twice. I giggled in my head. I slowly heard feet shuffling toward the hallway. A wrinkled old something we call common sense looked weak, smelled like mold and fungus, far worse than Father Time, with a color of dog-pissed yellow snow. Not sure the purpose of his dress, maybe it was for bed or war, or cleaning the smell of the building's toxic waste. Maybe I was overdressed for the place. Sorry for the mess and my state of dress or undress. Depending on your illusions, I laid off my staff. There was no need for upkeep or distribution. No reason, since unless Burbage and Stupid were running amok. With no shiny ribbon or Twitter events, not one Facebook invite to connect, we were not a case for social media protest. So down the drain of emojis and GIFs we went. Taking my pen and old notebook paper, we toured the old factory. C.S. hung his head in shame at the ghost town of inoculations that might curb ignorance. Packed in cases marked politics, war, medical, and science. A score of genius spores spoiled intelligence, a forgotten lifestyle. C.S. rambled in gambits of emotional BB gun pellets. Tears and laughter kept me guessing in the metaphorical tapestry that weaves the dawn of time to Taylor Swift's Football Lover. We ended the interview in his office. I asked him if he felt lonely in the new age of computers and AI programming. C.S. busted out in a full belly laugh. Jealous? Please, come and interview me again when someone attempts to develop a program that integrates the nuances of me. The moment before someone opens their mouth and thinks a hand that gives in kindness and isn't mean. A woman who looks in a mirror and doesn't think it's all about me. A man who stops himself from temptation and keeps the vows to a woman that chooses to give up her dreams for love and family. Program what is not linear? Answer the questions not colored in black and white circles. Ask yourself as prices rise and education dies and children and grandmas don't eat, how much longer you can live without me in your AI realities. End interview.
That is lovely. I absolutely love that tweet. I love how he's cynical and has had enough of the dregs of idiocy that, you know, permeate today's society. And he's just like, yeah, no, I had to fire everybody. I give up. Everybody's an idiot, and this is what is left. You need to call me when you guys get a clue and fix this mess. I absolutely love that. I also kind of love that little hint of trepidation at the beginning where she's like, oh, well, this is fast, and now I have to go meet this guy. Oh, I don't know what to expect. I love that little hint of that hidden behind that warm hello in that professional phone voice. I absolutely love that. But it is that he gives zero shits with his dog-pissed beard, his ratty old clothes, the stink of the place that permeates the air, and it's the death of all things semi-intelligent, where society has lost a grip on what reality is, where we live in a world that, you know, you can't say murder, death, kill. You have to say he unalived the person because, God forbid, you get demonetized. So, you know, I absolutely love this. I love that he is cynical. I love that, you know, he might as well just be a drunken hobo at this point because, you know, to hell with the idiots. And so I absolutely love the way you did this. So, Hatter, what are your thoughts?
I thought she was talking to Carl Sagan for a minute there. I came a little late. So I was, CF to me was a mystery to the end. I see that it's common sense, right? I was guessing that who you were talking about.
Oh, common sense.
Right?
Common sense.
Is it right? Is that right? Common sense.
Yeah.
Okay. It made sense. Then I thought you were talking to minimum wage.
No. I interviewed common sense.
Okay. Yeah. So
awesome.
You gotta try it, read it from halfway through to the end and then start over and get that a whole different poem.
Sorry,
I came late. But don't mind me.
No, it's interesting. It's awesome. I love when you can find, you know, different ways to read something or different subtleties in words that read one way if you start here, one way if you start there. Sweepy herself is really just keen on finding poems inside of poems on accident, which I find kind of a wonderful trait to have. So, Raconteur, what are your thoughts?
Common sense is out the window, I think. I think there's a lot of brilliance in this, and society does need to heed your warning, as it were. Common sense isn't very common anymore, as they say, and there's a lot of
truth to that. And, you know, there's no way for it to assert itself, apparently, so we have to deal with the idiocy.
Oh, an unfortunate truth indeed. And AP, your thoughts?
Well, it makes perfect sense in a poem about common sense to talk about Mickey Mouse, Travis Kelce, and the American budget deficit. And it's completely right that there is no common sense about what's going on in American politics and what's going on with the money and budget and waste and everything else that's happening in North America at the minute. And the only thing I will say, if we had our budget here in Australia last night, and for the second year in a row, we actually had a budget surplus. I'll say that again. We had a budget surplus for the second year in a row. We actually cut the amount of debt that we have for 2 years in a row by about $20 billion or so. Now, so it's possible, you know, it's possible. You just have to do something, anything, just do something. And that's the sort of sense that was coming through with the cry of common sense and comment.
Oh, absolutely.
Not when the government's corrupt.
I think your accountants lost their red ink. That's why you thought you lost your deficit. They're really using black pens. Red ones are more expensive, and it's really a deficit. You're going to find out.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Back to you, sweet.
Thank you. Okay, everybody, let's say hello to Miss Deborah Lee.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Sweet, that was...
Sorry, guys, I got another nosebleed. I got to go.
Sorry, Hatter.
And I'll be back in 2 minutes. I'm just going to get out of the house.
Okay.
Deb, you still know how to clear a room.
I know, right?
Yeah.
With Hatter,
though,
I've been clearing that room for a week now. He needs to do something about it. He's scaring me.
Yeah.
Anyway, sweet. For one thing, I have to say that I think your pink princess phone must have made a hell of an impression on you, because this is not the first home it's made it into. I love the walk down memory lane with the Cabbage Patch dolls and the pogs. And we hammered the guidelines for my interview, engaged in the proper amount of how are you small talk, and I decided to come to his warehouse. Please ring the doorbell twice. I'm like, okay. And then we get here, and someone killed Mickey. I mean, this is crazy good all the way through. And like, I think it's a brilliant choice of an interview, and love where you took it. You're a rock star.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I had fun with it. I kept messing with it. Now there's all kinds of various mistakes through it that now I have to go through and clean up again, because you shouldn't mess with it literally up until your time your show. But I will get it formatted to where I like it again. So, but that's me.
Well, stuff happens.
I thought it was formatted fine.
Trust me, it's not. But hello again. We missed you.
Oh, that's great. I'm back.
I know. All right, so AP, do you want to throw yourself up on the board before you get thrown up on the tarmac?
I already threw him up there. He's good to go.
All right.
Good.
Thank you.
Let me grab this piece. You asked who you'd like to conversation with. One of the more fascinating poets, I think, is in Australia, was a guy called Henry Lawson. He was alive at the same time as Van Gogh. He didn't have an easy life, and he died penniless, and he was, you know, most, he was quite seen as the lesser poet to Van Gogh, and I think he could show that he was a lot better than that. So this is a $10 note, as a little bit like this. There's notes played on sitar and guitar, and a fair few similar on the banjo star. But the key poet of the age was Henry,
actually bipedal between an emirate, 100 years to a $10 bill, decades from past Parliament's will. A fine flair for storytelling with erudition, marked all through by the stain of sedition. I would ask him what drove his muse and what regrets his writing excuse. Plus, of course, about rhyme, class, his rhythm and flow with drying grass. Finally, I would ask what legacy he saw from his writing and advocacy more. And I expect him with the absent regret for his journey and the people he had met in Palm.
Wow. I think that's brilliant. I love how you took, you know, a series of what you liked and you put them on the $10 bill. I know you and I had talked about something similar my son had done. And I just love this idea about the legacy and the advocacy and how. And I really do. It, you know, I expect he would be absent regret for his journey and people he had met. I mean, it's eloquent, obviously, but the things you would ask him, what drove his muse, what regrets, what writing, and all of that, I find that, you know, fascinating. You know, there are a lot of things that we'd love to ask, you know, our heroes, like Louise May Alcott or, you know, certain people that we have. And of course this would definitely be one of yours, but I wonder if he would ever have thought that he'd be on this $10 bill for all these years. And I one of the questions I was asking is, you know, so what do you think about that, dude? What his answer would be. But I love how your passion for this led to this. And I would love to actually, I would like to be there when you interview him, because I think it would be, I think it would be passionate and fun and funny as hell.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we could get that arranged somehow, because I would like to be that fly on the wall. So beautifully done. Beautiful fun. I do like one of your comments too. I meant to say, did he ever talk to Bob Dylan? I thought that was quite funny. So, Deb, your thoughts?
I really like this one, especially the third stanza. the fact that it says, "And what regrets did writing excuse?" Good question. Good. Well, good rhyme with muse, of course, but there's something you wonder. You write it out therapeutically, and did it just excuse a regret? Leaves me wondering. But I like that you went with Henry and the fact that the word banjo's in there too, since they had that mutual admiration. Very cool.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you.
And Rack, your thoughts?
I think we need to give this to some, you know, Australian authority and use it as an argument to get AP on a $10 bill. I enjoyed the banter and the idea of the conversation that you brought up. I knew that you liked Banjo Patterson. I would have no idea who he was. The first time you were talking about him, I thought you were talking about playing the banjo, and I got totally confused. So, you know, you ended up clarifying that later on, and I learned who he was and what he did and everything else. And the fact that you got to bring him up, too, was just, you know, very smile-worthy, because you worked in something else. And, you know, so you cut, like, two bites at the apple at the same time. I thought that was great. And, you know, of course, you know, it was an interview, so you gave us a lot of facts, too. So that was fantastic.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
You're pretty bird. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with Deb on that third stanza. The whole thing is a lovely tribute. There's a wonderful kind of awe and wistful nature to this whole piece that is just so lovely. You know, there's some admiration there that just comes through on such a wonderful level. It just feels good to read. You know, but that third stanza, you know, wanting to find out what you know, where his brilliance, you know, was said, and that whole what regrets did writing excuse? You know, there's so many ways that speaks to any of us who write, in that a lot of us purge our pain and it turns it into something beautiful, and so it makes it okay to feel it. And if we miss out on other things, but then you're, you know, what you're doing ends up being successful, then you can kind of balance the scales of however you want to do that, however it works for the individual creative person. And I love that. I love the idea of if you make it beautiful, it makes it better. I mean, that's how it felt to me anyway. And it's just a lovely notion. So I really felt this one.
Suffering for your art.
Excellent. All right. Let's see. Anna, did you get
now
back?
I'm going to exit stage left because I've got to go and get Sydney. Thanks for all the comments. For the chance to think about it, actually, I actually took me back to a time when I was actually thinking about the people that I admired in my original business and you know, how much influence they had on me, and I didn't even realise it. So it was really interesting piece, a really interesting thought.
That's really beautiful. Cool.
Have a safe trip.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank
safe.
You very much. Thanks, folks. Okay. Talk soon. Okay. Bye.
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 That's pretty awesome.
Weaving on a jet plane.
No, yeah. We got all that fun stuff. Let's see. What else do I have up in here? What else do I have up in here? Pretty Bird, do you want to read Miss Iris Rose for me?
Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just put her on the board.
Okay.
Okay, there she is. Okay, and this is Katerina's Smile by Iris Rose. One. I'm a reporter, a risk taker of the First World Order, traveling 42 hours from New York to Bakhmut. I turn inside, my will is signed, I pray I don't die 6,000 miles to write a story about an empathetic woman that sees inside Putin's life and knows about his strife. I wait for her in a bombed-out, shambled house with only a table and two broken chairs left about, where the still eastern front of Bakhmut pretends to sleep. But then I meet Katerina. Katerina Bolishchevkova. I apologize for that. Empathetic supreme, or empathic supreme. She smiles kindly at me, like she knows me. My camera is buttoned down safely on me, recording, hooked onto my Kevlar chest, attached to my right breast, tightly tucked and velcroed to my bulletproof vest. Two. It's quiet now. Nothing seems to breathe. Life is paralyzed, muted in death's sordid slumber, sleep. Hanging frozen, cast in silence. Lost in time, but memories still stream. Filling up in the caustic black air, belligerently defying life, irreverently beneath God's eyes. Death eats. Three. Sound breaks. A cracking, shattering, close-by machine gun bursting, buzzing, a 50-cal cannon nearby, zipping, coughing, bucking, consuming all life. Echoes stream from up high across the Prussian blue sky. Once a fair blessing to the eyes, now a raging wildfire dancing in the skies. Contrails of an SU-34 write epitaphs of death, devouring, flying across the depressed dawn light. War carves its broken alibis into all life. Death comes near me. I feel myself start to cry. Four. I'm a reporter. Come to record and reply, and I'm afraid. This is really real fucking life, living on the edge as defined. I write about ships, planes, tanks, drones, missiles, satellites, and now an old lady that escaped from Putin's Dhaka and a thousand kilometers away. This is insanity in my eyes. My God, how this place has been crucified, embedded in the Ukrainian 93rd Mechanized Brigade, Ukrainian Hellraisers, a mechanical maelstrom, life made that rips and tears out the flesh of the Wagner Group, butchering them all, leaving them where they stood. Five. I'm so confused. I get back to my task at hand, but Katerina has other plans. She talks to me about life, asking me why I've come to stare death in the eyes. Her voice is soft and gentle, like my mother's, she reminds me. Life is still about love, regardless of all the things I see. And poem.
Wow. That is, wow, that's just amazing. Yeah, Miss Irish Rose, I have got to tell you something that is powerful, that is passionate, that is just kitsch to the core. This is just wonderful. I got to tell you, the way you wrote it, a crackling, shattering, close-by machine gun, bursting, buzzing, a 50-cal cannon nearby, zipping, coughing, fucking, consuming all life. That is such great imagery. You're just drawn in there, and you can almost hear it and feel it. I mean, the depth of it into your chest. Beautiful, right? Stunningly horrific. Just the passion in your words are just remarkable. Thank you for bringing this right. I truly enjoyed it. Pretty Bird, you read it. Can I get your thoughts on it?
Yes. First, I would like to apologize for my, tripping over my own tongue. But this was quite the honor to read. It is a lovely storytelling of events. And it starts, in the thick of it, and just gets rougher and rougher and rougher, and all the reality of what war is, and all the darkness and all the bleakness and all the smoky black skies and fetid lungs and death and destruction. But it's the ending. I love good vignettes because they can just, gut punch you each one separately. But the ending is something quite special. When you get through all of that powerful machine gun fire and all the mechanics and all of the destruction, there's a quiet back to the task at hand with this little old lady. I'm so confused. And it is the kind of genius of her, where it's not about anything than why are you here, and that she reminds you, she reminds the reporter of her mother and takes her out of that place emotionally. And it's like from that place of heart and home, she can feel the depth of her actual surroundings. And it's more than just the Kevlar vests, and it's more than just all the things that she has to look out for to stay alive. It is remembering what that love is, what that peace is, and feeling that in that moment where her surroundings are bare and broken and stark and like you said, stunningly horrific. And I think she did a superb job with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Deb, your thoughts?
This was mind-blowing. It between the descriptions, the images, the emotions. I don't even know where to start. Line after line, section after section. It gets you. I think you said it. You feel it in the chest. I totally concur. It's just like. It's easy to see why it's already a double gold winner. The impact you're left with at the end of the poem is very powerful. Damn, Rose, this was awesome. I called it a double save gem and did so. Awesome share. Wow.
And Rack, your comment, please.
This is amazing. You know, it reminds me of the different kinds of stories that you can do. If you wanted to get away, you know, call it easy or whatever, they have, you know, like a fluff piece where you just write about kind of nothing and it's all happy and flouncy. And she dug right in with the reality, Pulitzer type, you know, I'm going to get an award for this piece, and really reminded us, you know, took us out of just, you know, the interview process and colored in outside the lines and painted a full-on picture of, you know, that this was, you know, what used to happen a long time ago when the reporters would go, you know, in the trenches and talk to, you know, the actual soldiers and stuff and give us, you know, an update on situations and whatnot in a way that was just, you couldn't do. You could almost hear the bullets flying overhead and the machine guns like she described it. She did an amazing job with all those descriptions as if she really experienced stuff like that. And it wasn't like she was talking, you know, as a writer, but more like, you know, this is what really happened and I'm just chronicling it. So she did a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Hey, Hatter. How are you?
Yeah.
How it's in the nosebleed section.
God, not the news. Yeah. Can't see you. I'm in the nosebleeds.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. Okay. That sucks so much.
Stop, so, all right.
Good. Glad to hear it. I don't know if you got a chance to read Irish's poem, but it was absolutely slamming. It was beautiful.
I don't have to read it. She's such a talent in anything she does. She's a great painter, sketcher, drawer, you know, artist, and poet too.
Yeah. Deb, would you like to read yours, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You are on the board.
Thank you. It's called An Interview with Herbert Franklin Claus, U.S. Army. Here we go. I'd interview my grandfather, daddy to my mother, Army Private First Class to the world. Killed in action fighting in World War II when my mama was just a baby. First, I'd embrace him with a bear hug, holding on a little too long, whispering my pride and adoration in his ear, then thanking him for serving and standing up for the freedoms I enjoy, telling him how brave he is too. Still squeezing tight, I'd ask him questions, like if he missed my grandmother or missed chocolate milkshakes, cheeseburgers, and apple pie. Inquire as to how hard it was at boot camp or if the military was his career decision. How it felt to hold my mother while on leave, or if it was harder to go back after smelling her hair, cuddling her and kissing her cheeks. Then I'd release the bear hug to look in his brown eyes as I asked if he was afraid as death surrounded him. Asked if bombs were bursting in air, lighting up the sky, leaving trails of fire over his head. Asked if he was by himself when he died, and if it hurt. Once we wrapped up the conversation, I'd tell him it was amazing to meet him, and then ask one last question. Papa, can I have another hug before you go?
Okay. You're not allowed to make me cry. This is not a crying show. This is beautiful. So, I'm going to read your author's notes, unless you would like to read them.
I think she's crying, too.
My maternal grandfather. The following words are found on the letter that my grandmother received, my grandmother received, informing her of his death. stand in the unbroken line of patriots who have dared to die, that freedom may live and grow and increase its blessings. Freedom lives, and through it he lives in a way that humbles the undertaking of most men. Franklin Roosevelt, 1944. And if you click that link later, there's a picture that I had added to that site of him holding my mom as an infant. And I also provided a lot of the information that's there. And towards the bottom, they have what are the Guardians of Honor. And my name is there under research. Thanks, sweet.
It's beautiful, Deb. You know, I the things you would ask, such simple things. You know, what was it like to hold my mom? What was it like to smell her hair? How hard was it to go back? How blessed he was to get to come home and hold her. So many men weren't. You know, you'd ask some tougher questions like, did you die alone? Did you hurt? I'm not sure I'd be brave enough to ask those kind of questions. I thought it was a beautiful way to talk about freedom, talk about your family that has served. But, yeah, it was definitely a beautiful tribute to your great-grandfather. So, or your grandfather, yeah, very well done. Contour, your thoughts.
You know, on hellwithancestry.com, this was great. You know, these are the things that kind of take you outside of what an interview is, because you've got that connection to the person you're talking to. So you've got that emotional connection to the subject on top of the questions about the war and everything else, and the facts that disseminated to you that you know about. So you kind of built upon that too. And you know, this oozes with your love and admiration for the man too. So that was fantastic. You know, I won't say you didn't have to say, you know, thank you for your service, but you know, you did in so many other ways, in so many different ways throughout this interview. It was fantastic. I like your choice of questions, because, you know, seeing someone like that, you know, in my life, I would probably be speechless more than, like, you know, being able to even think of, like, you know, what was it like to hold grandma, you know, that kind of stuff. It'd be like, you know, can I have your recipe for beer? You know, I wouldn't know what to say. So this was a great, great interview.
Thank you, McIntyre. Appreciate it.
Matt?
If I control the next 15 seconds, I would just like, should we get a moment of silence? I'm speechless.
Thank you, Hunter.
And Pretty Bird.
What I find most compelling in this, it's not just the words. It's the fact that he passed when your mom was just an infant. So all of this love was passed down through your grandmother. And what a beautiful way to be remembered, what a legacy to leave, that his braveness and his sacrifice is all, you know, the foundation of love, that he did all of that for love of country, love of family, so that you guys can, you know, maintain the freedoms that he was fighting for, and that carries through so strongly in you. It's quite the beautiful thing. I love that there's a connectedness to this, to somebody that even your mom didn't even really know, but that kind of carries the foundation of family, and that is magic. So it's quite beautiful.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're welcome.
So, my dear Pretty Bird, do you have a poem for us tonight? Anything?
I do not.
All right.
I did not interview. Yeah.
All right. Then Hatter, Do you have something for me tonight?
Hatter, the thing that you asked for that goes with this poem is already in the studio.
Okay. I hope it's right now. Let me catch my breath here. Hold on. You know, Deb, in my entire life, I've never met anyone, I never asked either, but I've never met anyone that had lost a grandfather or a brother or more. I don't know why that is. You're the first.
Well, now you know somebody. I got to go, though, Hatter. Did you need me to push that?
No, I got it. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to respect everyone.
Thank you, Deborah.
Okay. Good night, guys. Thank you.
Great topic.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, this drains me. Did you post it already?
No, what are we doing?
Nothing. What did you want me to do?
So you have a poem?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Drop it on the board, babe.
I'll post it. Okay.
Going on the board.
I'm going to try this. Bear with me.
I'm bearing with you, buddy.
Interview the bear.
Okay. Good luck. Got started. Okay.
Okay. What was the music?
I got to do this really quick. Okay.
Hey, Hatter.
I've changed my mind just in time that Mike has made her mad. Time it took just 1 second left to know it needs to be changed. Thank God the time to replace my rhyme that might have caused her pain. So instead of the business, I'll give her a list of beautiful rainbows that rhyme. With the view of you, so my dreams come true, touching my soul is my sweetest, sweet bee. Her laugh gives me giggles, but always wiggles, and that's how it should be. Her hair so red, it easily said that my missing heart she owns. But that's not true, is it, sweet pea? Because I shall never, ever be grown. I saw that you peeked, or was it a leak, when you sent you there to read me. It doesn't now matter, because I'm the mad hatter. This is how it will be. I shall take the chance, and then we'll ask you to dance. Oh, sweet pea, won't you dance with me? See, I needed her to push something. Hold on. I'm sorry.
Which poem was that?
I
don't think it's the one that's on the board.
I know, but I saw she peeked. I posted this, and I didn't want her to read it ahead of time. So hold on. Oh, okay, there it is. So now, in the real world, in the perfect world, it should have went. As soon as I finished the poem,
the song.
Okay. I was going to play the song Sweet Pea by Tommy Rowe right then. But now I'll read the run that you guys have kind of did. Okay. Read the other one now. Didn't work.
Okay.
Not good. Forgot that my browser skips. Okay. Now the one. Now it probably doesn't make sense, you guys, but it does do sweet, right?
Okay.
Okay, it goes like this. I wish to ask a question or two. I wish to ask a question or two. You can answer you think it's you. I might have thought it weird to say I think of you in a special way. Your laugh compared to certain squeal, your whisper has a sex appeal. Can you remember before the time you made the change to a trans bovine? You have a little secret to keep, an alpaca, a llama, maybe a sheep. Have you ever filled a can? Do you know anyone with two cold hands? With a cream rise to the top, pull the string to make it to make me stop. No saddles to ride you, no spurs to guide you, no ropes to tie you down. But I bet I could. In fact, I would ride bareback, make the cowboy sounds. Yeehaw, little Buffy, I'm, I want to try the spurs, no saddle on an 8-second ride. If I fail, you can have the bell, and the farmer doesn't need it anymore. But if I succeed, you and me will for a much, much higher score. Something happened years ago, one day before a poetry show. The moon was crude. Do you think it was you? Because I give it away. I'll ride you home so we're alone, just so I can say, oh, sweetie, won't you dance with me? Won't you dance with me? Simple. Okay, maybe it's you.
Okay, yeah, okay, well, oh, my God. I don't even know how to answer that. I have no answers to this right now. Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what. No matter what, I'll have leather boots on.
Oh.
That could get thick.
Oh, good God. This is hilarious. And basically, the what he was saying before is a lot of lyrics to the other song. So... Oh, that was great, Hatter. This is funny. It's funny as you can say. Yeah, I love you made the change to trans bovine. That's hilarious. No, I'm not. I don't have any friends for your other friends, not a llama or a sheep or a pig or anything else like that. But in fact,
that's
I would
sort of my job.
Ride bareback making cowboy songs. Oh, my God, this is great. This just makes me giggle. Definitely going in my Mad Hatter file, because I think you got some mad cow disease going on there, dude. Just
okay.
Hilarious. Rad,
right.
your thoughts. Oh.
You know, I like how you turned the tables and interviewed the hostess. She's a wealth of information and a very interesting subject to study. And, you know, you got a lot of good clips in there.
Trans-bovine. It is, right?
And,
would know about cold hands.
Pretty firm, your thoughts.
You know, Hatter, you look sweet and innocent. You really do. But, you know, sometimes I'm thinking not so much. Because I'm sitting here looking at no saddles to ride you, no spurs to guide you, no ropes to tie you down. But I bet I could. In fact, I would. Ride bareback making cowboy sounds. I freaking love it. I absolutely love it. That is a yeehaw. That is the best thinking thing. It just is. It just is, because it's all playful and fabulous, and she's got that sexy whisper that you mentioned at the beginning, and then she had to throw in those boots of hers. I mean, cows wearing cows, but I digress. And not that you're a cow, but cowbell, you know. And I am loving it. I am loving it. Oh, my goodness. So won't you dance with me? Oh, my. Fabulousness.
Yes.
So I didn't lose anybody respect, did I? Okay.
All respect, yes. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. The transition was supposed to be a little smoother than it was, but I apologize for that.
No, you're awesome.
You started off
asking us to bear with you. There's a bear with you. Ask him if he craps in the woods.
OMG.
Yeah, it's pretty bad that you're asking for forgiveness before you read it.
Great. All right, let's see. Where am I at right now? Other than the dogs are going insane outside my office. Oh, my God. Like, nut child insane. Okay, there's a little quietness now.
You heard there was a stampede coming from the other side of the door.
I guess so. Just fun. All right, so we have a poem from Lawrence 67. Check one thing on that, though. Okay, where are you at? Where are you at? Checking something, checking, check, check, check. I have to do a double check, people. In the room. I have to do something in the room.
Check one, two, check. In the room.
Yeah, I know. I got to do the check, check. If I don't do the check, check, I'll get into trouble. And if I can't be in trouble.
Sibilance.
Oh, thank you. You know what I was doing the prep check for. All right. Well, you want to read that there, Pretty Bird?
Well, sure. Why not?
Thank you, darling.
If I can. If my phone will just work. Here we go. Okay.
All right.
Here's on the board. Okay, now I know I opened it up somewhere. Here we go. Okay, this is A Real Old Interview by Lawrence 67. In my spare time, I have journeyed back in time. Hello, everybody out there in poetry land. Welcome to another edition of Where Are They Now? I'm your roving reporter, Jubo Della Chinga Jr. the third. Today, we have journeyed far back in time to interview an old Lawrence Man 67. Hello, Lawrence Man 67. May I ask why they call you Lawrence Man? Well, Mr. Jubo, it's like this. I was my father's firstborn, and his name was Link Man, so I was the first man. And what happened to your father, Lawrence Man? Oh, well, he went missing. The missing link? Yeah, I know. I get that from everybody. Okay, so how's it going back here in the olden days? Well, let me tell you about it, Mr. Jubo. It's not too terrific living in the Mesolithic. I mean, in order to visit our nearest neighbors, we got to travel through summer, winter, and fall. They live quite far. The terrain is rough, and you can't get there by car. Because of the rough terrain? No, the wheel hasn't been invented yet, and we can't call them at all. Because there's no phones? No, because they're Neanderthal and they haven't learned to use their vocal cords. It's not too terrific living in the Mesolithic. And we have some real bad predators, you know? Oh, you mean like Sabretooth and Megalodon? No, I mean like a real chumo stranger danger does affect us. You got to watch out for them Homo erectus walking around all the time with their erectus out, damn homos. It's not too terrific living in the Mesolithic. Well, I take it it's not too terrific living in the Mesolithic. Yeah, and that ain't half of it. But why? Because it's in the Stone Age? No, because we don't know how to spell Mesolithic. Alrighty then, that will end this edition of Where Are They Now, brought to you by Jubo's Lolo Car, Truck, and Bicycle Insurance, where our motto is, we ensure that we will insure you so long as you don't have an accident. Good night, everybody. End poem.
That was great. Okay,
okay, first off, I'm really glad you read that, but you read it so freaking well. That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason you read it so well, A, it's you, and B, oh my God, what an incredible great writing. That was fabulous. That was funny. That was a hell of an interview, too. I love this poem. A, we couldn't spell it. We couldn't use our voices. We couldn't do this.
How stupid are you? It wasn't invented. Why? Because it's the Stone Age. This is just great. Oh, wow. Because the wheel wasn't invented. I just really enjoyed every answer he had to give. This was just really brilliant. I really thought it was funny and just full of just surprise after surprise after surprise, and a great cadence, great rhyme, great everything. Very well done. Enjoyed it. Really, really just made me giggle. And I think that it'll be something that I give my son to read to my grandson. Because I think my grandson would get a big kick out of it. And Ms. Freebird, you read it, so your thoughts on it.
Okay, I love the feel of it. It reminds me of old-timey radio shows. And so I kind of hope I did it justice because I wasn't expecting it to be so animated and fabulous. It was just, I love that every other answer is like, every answer is like, no, because of this, no, because, you know, there's a straight guy and there's a funny guy. And it just reminds me of like those old-timey radio shows or the old-timey TV shows, a little bit of vaudeville, but it was awesome. It was just wonderfully, wonderfully clever.
Brandon, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was a fantastic sketch comedy skit. You know, that kind of playful interview where the person you're trying to interview just doesn't want to conform. You know, no. You know, he gets the setup answers and just, you know, keeps slamming the door on you. He did a wonderful job of that. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I agree. He was just hilarious all the way through. And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a Abbott and Costello conversation. This is one time you can say you got to watch out for them homo erectus walking around all the time with their erectus, that damn homos, and not be in trouble, because that's exactly homo erectus. It's clever, very clever. And the reference you made of the wheel, he's got cars, he's referred to cars, but not a wheel, I mean, he just flew on by it. So there's the non-explanation of a conundrum like jumbo shrimp.
Oxymoron.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's like that. You just flew by it, no questions asked. But this is very cleverly written. It's pretty good. Thank you. Thank you for writing it.
Well, since Oxy wasn't invented, it's just a straight... Never mind.
Oh, did you read the AM author says?
Yeah.
Giving them names, that was good too.
Yeah. This is great.
Takes forever to get there.
Okay.
I'd rather say that man did live with the time of the dinosaurs. They'll possibly have it. You got it wrong. It's just a little bit. So you can think of the Herculoids, the Flintstones, riding dinosaurs around. Imagine riding the Brontosaurus.
I think more like the Flintstones now, with the washing machine, bird, and the vacuum.
8 seconds on a Tyrone on a T-Rex. Well, the best listeners with it were the cameras. The monkey and the bird would come out and take a look, and then go back and chisel it.
Okay. I'm lost, but that's okay. I'm always lost.
Now where am I?
The Flintstones are here. Appliances. The kitchen appliances are great.
Oh. Must be a California thing.
The garbage disposal. Oh, Flintstones, they have these freaking little dinosaurs. There's a dark garbage disposal, the sink.
The baby will remember
the vacuum. Must be a California thing.
It's a Flintstones thing.
It's a cartoon thing.
It's a cartoon thing. Well, maybe it's a cartoon I never watched. I hated cartoons.
You never watched The Flintstones?
Oh.
I did watch The Flintstones. Never mind. Okay. I missed the word Flintstones, okay? Sorry. I'm like, what? Huh? I had very barky dogs.
It's been a day, sweet.
It has been a day. I need to, yeah. I believe we are done with all of my poems that came. And I think that we had a fun time with all of the topics. And we had some really great poems, let me tell you. Between APs and Irish Rose and Deborah Lee making us cry and Lawrence. And, of course, the semi-soft porn of me and Hatter. That went well. I didn't write it.
Ride 'em, cowboy.
Yeah.
Hey, just tell it like it is.
Yeah, I am.
You tickle me, Hatter. You're awesome.
Yeah. He's tickling something down here. I'll tell you what. What a great night.
I'll tickle you pink.
Yeah. Well, we'll just keep. Oh, my God.
My mom used it all the time. It tickle me pink.
I'm biting my tongue, sweet. I'm biting it.
Please do, because this is tonight. But yeah, it's a lovely night. Lovely night. Tomorrow night is Sky Show that we talked about, and what else are we doing this week? I'm not going to be around on Thursday night, so don't try to call in, talk to me. I'm going to be doing that on Tuesday nights now.
I was tickled.
I'm not going to end with a song. I didn't start with a song, so hopefully AP's off in his airplane and you know he's moving along and somebody's not calling him Shirley. So let's all say goodnight. Pretty Bird, I hope you have a good night of rest. And
did I say something wrong?
No way.
No.
No. No, and Hatter, I hope you have a lovely... Hatter, you're wonderful. I hope you have a lovely night with your leather, whatever you're sleeping in. Rack, have a beautiful evening. Everybody, thank you for your great, fabulous poems. And I am going to blissfully say...
Don't go yet.
Good night.
No, not yet.
Yes.
Not yet.
What do you mean?
Can we play Sweet Pea? Can we play Tommy Rowe?
If I can find Tommy Rowe, I will play Tommy Rowe out.
I've been looking for it, but the studio hasn't been cooperative, so maybe you'll do better than me.
Yeah,
It's under Tommy Rowe.
Just hit play.
I found it.
Okay.
I lost it. See, she's still wanting to jump back. I'll do it one more time. Give me one second.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Blog Talk is a pain in my buttocks. I am just saying.
Lost it over.
OMG. Yeah, it's not letting me. It's in there. It is in there, but it's not letting me click through. So if you type in Tom, it'll be the first thing that pops up, but it's not working for me.
Okay, let me try looking for a different way.
You just scrolled down to Tommy Rowe right after.
If you just type in Tommy on the thing, it's right there. But then when the page finishes loading up, when it pulls up, it goes back to A.
Okay. I was there earlier and played it.
That's why I think that Sweet will have better luck than me.
That's because she can't get her ducks in a row.
It's staying for a hot second. Let me try.
There we go.
Night, Hatter.
Good night. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.